Isn't it about time for somebody's favorite radio program?
Yeah.
97.3 ESPN presents The Sports Bash with Mike Gill.
When I'm driving, I got a guy on the radio who talks to me. I can't see him, but he talks to me.
Now, live from inside the Ocean Casino Resort Studio, here's Mike Gill.
We are live on a Monday edition of the Sports Bash, 97.3 ESPN, the 97.3 ESPN free mobile app. What's going on, everybody? I'm your host, Mike Gill. Josh Henning has the day off today, kind of working from home. Got a one-hour power hour leading you into the Sixers at 3 o'clock today on 97.3 ESPN. Sixers game has been moved from 7 o'clock up to 3 o'clock. And the Flyers tonight at 7, so we got the Sixers at 3 and the Flyers at 7 for you. For those of you doing the shoveling out there, hopefully we keep you company for the hour. Now look, you can drive around pretty easily. Good job by everybody getting the roads cleared off. It was a weird storm yesterday. The snow came down, it kind of piled up. Then it got like rock hard and it's very slippery out there. You know, you're like walking in the driveway, and I'm like, basically, I felt like I was standing on the Xfinity Mobile Arena ice, just slipping and sliding on down the driveway. But here I am, you out there. Let's hang out for an hour, get all the particulars we can in the next hour here, because there is a lot of stuff that's happening. You have championship weekend in the books. We have a Super Bowl set up now. The Patriots are going to play the Seattle Seahawks. And that was a matchup we saw back in 2015. Remember that one? And that was the matchup that everybody talked about back in 2015 with the Marshawn Lynch and, you know, the pass and the interception. And here we are 10 years later. We get that same matchup again. And I don't know that anybody picked those two teams at the beginning of the year. But one thing these two teams have is they both have defensive coordinator background head coaches. They both have guys who are defensive-minded guys first, and they both win over guys who call plays. Sean McVay, the play caller for the Rams. Sean Payton, the play caller for the Denver Broncos. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that that was a great element weather-wise, the elements for Peyton in the offense, Jared Stidham, the backup quarterback, yada, yada, yada. But they scored 7 points in the game yesterday, and that obviously isn't going to get it done in an AFC championship game at home, by the way. Multiple opportunities to take the points. They choose not to. And quite frankly, you're at home with the backup quarterback. I have to imagine the Denver Broncos had some element of information that there might be snow in the second half of that game. So it's a little perplexing that you say, you know what, snow's coming, let's get points here. And they didn't do it. So the defensive mind in Vrabel beats the offensive mind in Peyton, and that team goes to the Super Bowl. On the other side, you know, Sean McVay had a chance to take the points. He ends up going for it on fourth down. They don't get it. And then later on in the game, if they would have taken the points there, they could have kicked the field goal again, and they would have had a lead in the game. But he goes for it. They don't get it. Then they can't go for it, the field goal, the next time down. And unfortunately for them, they run out of time. They get the ball back, not enough time. Timeout situation for them. McVay is, in my estimation, look, I like McVay. I like McVay, the play caller. I like McVay's offense. I like how dynamic they are. Anytime they lose, it's generally mismanagement by the head coach. Now, yesterday, the punt is fumbled. Now, keep in mind, the punt's fumbled on one end. On the other end of the field, you get a rinky-dink call on Woolen, and that gives the Rams a chance to get back into that game. But the mismanagement, again, by Sean McVay. Listen, I get it. He's a great play caller. Do I want him to be my play caller? Yes. Do I want him to be the guy who designs my offense? Yes. But this goes back to this whole thing that we're dealing with right now in the Eagles and their search for the offensive coordinator. You want a guy who can call the plays, and that's all that he does. How many times are you yelling at the TV yesterday at the Rams and the way they manage the game? This doesn't mean that Sean McVay is a bad head coach. He's won a Super Bowl. So, by the way, he's proven he can do it. But I think anytime you ask a Rams fan, why did they lose that game? Oh, my God, they took a timeout for no reason there. And that's what ends up happening in these close games. When you are at that game, you cannot mismanage those situations. By the way, let's see what's left for the Eagles. They have connected with more new names. And I got to be honest with you. There's not one name that I've heard today, and there's a lot of them. It's a lot of names today. It's Monday. Everybody was snowed in. I guess the phones were burning up this weekend. By the way, Declan Doyle talked about him Friday. He has withdrawn his name. He will not be the next Eagles offensive coordinator. Charlie Weiss Jr. withdrew his name. He will not be the Eagles' next offensive coordinator. You've got Jim Bob Cooter still in the mix. Matt Nagy still in the mix. I imagine Mike Kafka is still in the mix. Heard Josh Grizzard name last week. Haven't heard much of a follow-up on him. I guess he's still in the mix. I don't know if Brian Daboll is still in the mix, but he does not have a job at this moment, so I guess there's a little light at the end of the tunnel there. A couple of new names have come into the mix today. Did I mention Mike Kafka, by the way? I think he's still in the mix. Jared Johnson came into the mix today. Jared Johnson is a guy. He's been a quarterback in the league and is one of those guys who just bounces all over the place as a quarterback. He's kind of like a Josh Johnson, but his name's Jared Johnson. He is the, I believe he is in Houston right now, and he has never called plays. He is not the coordinator there. He is the pass game coordinator or the quarterback coach or something to that effect. His name has been picked up as another guy. There's another name today. Oh, Frank Smith. Frank Smith of the Dolphins. He is the Dolphins offensive coordinator. So he does not call the plays, but he's a part of the Dolphins staff, so he's a part of that Mike McDaniel tree. So if you like Mike McDaniel, do you want to go get the knockoff version and bring in Frank Smith? That's a possibility. If you were a fan of Bobby Slowick, he is off the board. He went and took another job. So he is out. Where did Bobby Slowick end up? I can't remember. But there are a bunch of names. None of them stand out here. Zach Robinson took a job. He's with Tampa Bay. Art Smith, by the way, Pittsburgh. He ended up taking a job. Apparently, the Eagles were interested in Arthur Smith, who was the head coach in Tennessee a couple of years ago. Ended up getting fired there from the Tennessee Titans. He ended up going to Atlanta. If you remember that, he was in Atlanta as the play caller there. And then he ended up in Pittsburgh this year. He's going to Ohio State. He said, the heck with the Eagles, the heck with the NFL. I'm going to go to Ohio State. So Arthur Smith is out of the mix if you were somebody who liked him. Not that the Eagles, although there was a report over the weekend that they did have some interest in Arthur Smith. Now we're hearing some new names, as we talked about on Friday. Because of the teams that were in the playoffs, they lost. The Rams are out. Now Mike LaFleur is interviewing for the Cardinals head coaching job. And also Joe Brady from the Bills. Now, he wasn't in the playoffs this weekend, but he was in the playoffs last week. He is interviewing for the Raiders job. Nate Shielhaas, who is the Rams passing game coordinator, he is now available. We'll see if teams start to reach out to him. And I wonder if the Eagles will reach out to him. According to reports, the Eagles reached out to Cowboys offensive coordinator Clayton Adams, but they were blocked in trying to get him. I mean, so the Eagles are, you could either say they're leaving no stone unturned, or they really are just throwing darts. Like, let's just throw a dart at the dartboard and see whose name it lands on, and give them a call and see if they're interested in talking. That being said, I joke on that a little bit. I do still have confidence in the end that they will get the right guy in here and this hire will be a good one. And I also have the feeling that if they hire the right guy, we're going to be talking about this guy leaving next year. You know, we'll be at this same week, fast forward to January 26, 2027, and we might be talking about, hey, the Eagles offensive coordinator Nate Shielhaas He's got head coaching job interviews. Now, I don't know. He might get a head coaching job right now. After they lose yesterday, the Rams, you're in a situation where you could see those guys start to get interviews, and you're already hearing stuff like that. 609-403-0973, 609-403-0973. If you're driving, be safe out there. We've got you till 3 o'clock. We're going to try to fit as much in as we can, leading you up to Sixers basketball at 3 o'clock. All right, so that's all the Eagles news for the time being. We have like 15 different candidates. Some are staying, some are going, some are interested, some are not. And quite frankly, if you're not interested, I'm okay with that. If you're not interested in the Eagles job, that kind of tells me you lack a little bit of self-confidence. Like, what part of being a part of the Eagles organization says, man, I'm set up for failure here? I could understand if this was the Jets. Like, I could understand if the Eagles were the Jets and you're like, I'm not sure I really want to go there. I can understand if this was the Cleveland Browns, and you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm okay where I'm at. This is the Philadelphia Eagles, for God's sakes. If you're a coach and you don't think you can succeed here, I'm not really interested. And that doesn't mean this is the best spot or the, you know, you're walking in with the keys to the castle and the kingdom of the NFL. You're going to have to work at your job. But if you don't think the Philadelphia Eagles are not going to at least give you every opportunity for success with talent, with the ability to win games, put up big-time stats, you're crazy. Give me an example of where this team has not, number one, been competitive, number two, not done everything possible to try to win. If you're a coach looking to get a head coaching job, it's pretty much at the top of the list of places that you want to be. It's at the top of the list of places that you want to be. So all those guys, I want the guy that says, give me A.J. Brown, give me Devontae Smith, give me Saquon Barkley, and let me cook. Give me Jalen Hurts. I'll pull it out of him. I'll pull out the more out of him. And if you're not the guy that wants to work with them, now, I do understand. You could sit down for an interview and say, hey, Howie, I got a question. What's up with A.J. Brown? Well, we're not really sure. And you say, okay, guess what? I got Devontae Smith. I'm cool with that. Watch the Seattle team yesterday. The Seattle Seahawks. They're going to the Super Bowl, right? Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's their leading receiver. Who's the other guy? Right, who's the other guy on that team that you're like, yeah, got him too? I mean, they did get Rashid Shaheed. They traded for him, but I got news for you. They didn't do anything with Shaheed. He didn't do anything this year. They traded for him, and he wasn't a big part of that offense. You look at that offense, the Seattle Seahawks. You're telling me that Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's a stud, by the way, and guess what? Look at their targets yesterday. He had 10 catches for 153 yards. He had 12 targets. That's what you do with a number one wide receiver. Could Devontae Smith be Jackson Smith and Jigba? I don't know if he's that good. You know, there's no reason why, like, their number two, Rashid Shaheed, had one catch. One. Cooper Kupp, four. Jake Bobo had a catch. A.J. Barner, I mean, you're not talking about some wild offense here. And they scored 31 points in the game. They had Jackson Smith and Jigba. They use him very, very well. They didn't run the ball all that well. Kenneth Walker had a pretty good game catching the football, 4 for 49. But 19 carries, 62 yards. They weren't like, I got to give credit where credit's due. Sam Darnold was awesome yesterday. Sam Darnold was really good yesterday. 609-403-0973. But you look at Seattle's offense. If I'm a coordinator and you give me Devontae Smith, and I hope to have a better offensive line this year, I'm okay with that. Take the challenge. That's the guy I'm looking for. The guy who wants to take on this challenge. All right, over to the Phillies. According to multiple reports, Harrison Bader has signed with the San Francisco Giants. He gets a 2-year deal. It's about $20 million. And real quick, I want to read off this text messages. They have Cooper Kupp, Mike, Jack, and Kate May. Yeah, I mentioned Cooper Kupp. You know what he did? Nothing yesterday. He had 4 catches, as I said. I mentioned Kupp. 4 catches for 36 yards. But I do agree that Kupp is the kind of guy the Eagles have lacked. Just a steady Eddie, catch the ball, get the first down, find the sticks. But he didn't have a big year this year, Kupp. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of coming to the end of the road. But Jack, yes, they have Cooper Kupp. I don't know that that's something you're like, wow. I think the Eagles could use their third guy better, if you want to say that. Let's go back to Bader. Bader gets a 2-year deal, and the 2-year deal is worth $20 million, 20 and a half. The question I would have initially on the surface, he gets a 2-year deal for about $10 million, right? He will get a 2-year deal for about $10 million. So would you rather have just given Bader the $10 million and had him for an extra year or give that money to Adolis Garcia for the 1 year? Because essentially now, Bader's out of the mix and you got Garcia, which I get it. You got Adolis Garcia for $10 million and then he's gone. But would you have rather just had Bader but for the extra year? I was not big on signing Bader unless, right? Unless it was, hey, I can't find anything. I'll do the 1 year, $10 million deal. And he ends up getting the he ends up getting the 2-year deal. So kudos to Bader for getting that 2-year deal. But I don't know that the Phillies should have given him the 2-year deal. You know, my problem with Bader is, and I liked Bader. I thought he was really a spark when he came here. But I also remember the Bader that I've seen in other stops. And I just don't know that it's worth what you would have to do. Look, Bader's been in the league since 2017. He spent the first 6 years of his career with the Cardinals. And his best season with the Cardinals, he hit .267 with 16 home runs and 50 RBI. Played 103 games. He's always hurt, always bouncing around. He's been with the Cardinals. He spent 2 years in New York with the Yankees. He ended up getting traded from the Yankees to the Reds. With the Yankees, he hit .217, .240, got traded to the Reds and hit .161. He went to the Mets, hit .236 with the Mets. Then he went to Minnesota and had a pretty good year hitting .258 with 12 homers. So last year between Philly and Minnesota, it's the best year he's ever had. Like, Bader came here and won everybody over. But I don't know that you could have made a long-term commitment to him. Last year, .277, 17 homers, 54 RBI. He had a .347 on base. That was his best season ever. And, of course, he only played 90. He played, 130 games, it looks like, 140 games. You just couldn't trust him has been the problem. So I understand the Phillies saying, look, I'll give you the 1-year deal if you want to come back for the 1 year. But he got a 2-year deal, you move on. Last one. By the way, Sixers at 3 o'clock against the Hornets. We'll have that for you here on 97.3 ESPN. Game on Saturday against the Knicks. What a wild game. What a wild game. We're going to talk a little bit more about it coming up on the Sports Bass Live, 97.3 ESPN. We got an abbreviated one-hour power hour for you leading into the Sixers at 3 o'clock. Coming up, we'll have a special edition of the Nuggets here on the Sports Bass. Just going to have a little fun between now and the end of the show leading into the Sixers. A little snow stories. And we'll get into the Eagles head coaching, offensive coordinator search. Still to come. I am Mike Gill at Mike Gill Show on the X platform. And coming up, it is Sixers basketball at 3 o'clock on 97.3 ESPN.
It's the Sports Guild.
Keeping the fans entertained and happy.
On 97.3 ESPN and the 97.3 ESPN free mobile app.
All right, welcome back. Sports Fast Live, 97.3 ESPN. As we told you, coming up at 3 o'clock today, the Sixers take on the Hornets. We'll have that game for you on 97.3 ESPN. It is the Sports Bash, and we generally do Nick's Nuggets in the 4:30 spot on weekdays. But because of the weather out there today, we only have a quick power hour. We're going to do a little early Nuggets today. Nick Earnshaw is back with today's Nuggets here on the Sports Bash Live on 97.3 ESPN. A little snow day for everybody out there, Josh included. Josh is off today. I said, don't bother driving in. We only got a quick little power hour, and we'll do a little quick little Nuggets.
Yeah, how about that, Mike? Thanks for having me. A little power hour once again. Like, we've done two power hours in, what, a couple of weeks now. It's we got to start doing more of these power hours, I think.
Yeah, yesterday you didn't do the locker room. I guess Alex was in the locker room yesterday. Yes. Did they get in and everything was good?
Yeah, they got in, seemed to be okay. I listened to a little bit of the show. I think it was a Bobby in there yesterday. So it was a twin matchup there.
Wow, so they got in, no problems. I was a little worried that they were going to, you know, kind of flake out and not be able to get in there, but I guess they got in. I didn't even remember to tune in to find out whether they made it or not.
So when I tuned in for a little bit, it sounded like Berardis got a ride from the other Schwein, Bob Schwein.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, so they carpooled together, got in and out, so I think they got home all right. But yeah, I mean, listen, big snowstorm. I mean, this is nuts. So I'll even start with this. What was on your docket yesterday? Did you do anything? I shoveled at night. I waited. What is your way of shoveling? Do you go a couple of times throughout the snowstorm while it's still snowing and then go back out, in and out? Or you wait till the whole thing's kind of done and then you go out there?
None of the above.
You didn't shovel?
No.
What do you mean you didn't shovel?
I have a car. My car drove over the snow and
I just got out. Oh my God. No. I have a car too. I need a shovel to get myself out. How many inches did you guys get down there? Because I'm a little more north than west of you guys.
You know what? I would say probably in like the 6-inch range.
Okay.
Five to six.
We probably got closer to a foot, like 10 to 11.
By the time yesterday it snowed all day, never left my house, got out this morning. When I went outside this morning, my car was like, the snow was so compacted, it was like hard ice. So my car just literally drove up over the ice. It wasn't like snow. So I just literally just like went backed right out. And the only problem I did have was I got to the end of the driveway and they had plowed our streets.
Yeah.
They blocked me in a little bit. So I did have to kind of, my next door neighbor, who, by the way, I had never met before, I've never seen before in my life, he was outside with his wife, I think, and he had a shovel, and I had a shovel, and mine was like a snow shovel. But he was like, you're going to need a regular shovel.
Yeah.
Because he said it was just a block of ice. So he came over with his regular shovel. I have a regular shovel, but he came over, and he's like, here, and he just started breaking up the ice, and he's like, you should be able to just drive right over that. And he directed me right out. I drove right out, and I was here like a normal day.
Literally, no pun intended, but you guys broke the ice, no, like literally and figuratively. How about that?
Yeah, I should have caught his name. I never got his name.
Now you have something to talk about.
If that guy's listening, thank you very much. That was very nice. I didn't know him. I've never met him. He just moved in recently. They moved in not too long ago.
There you go. Well, that's fantastic. But
there. Like, I have a story. There's a guy who lives across the street from me, right? Everybody knows this guy, but I don't really know him. We have like different schedules. I never see the guy.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, oh, you live right across the street from so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, but I don't really know the guy.
Not really home. I'm not really home all the time.
I've lived in my house since 2019. I think I've seen that guy 3 or 4 times, maybe more, maybe like 5 or 6. But so one day, it was Black Friday, not this year, the year before. And I was out watching the game. My girlfriend and I had dropped off to get her nails done. And I said, oh, I'm going to go grab a beer. I'll just text me and I'll come back and get you. And I'm sitting there by myself. There's these two guys sitting next to me. And they're talking. Well, this is going on for about an hour. The one guy gets up and he goes to the bathroom. So the guy says to me, hey, are you Mike Gill? I said, yeah. And he's like, I'm your next door neighbor.
Get out of here.
So we're talking for like, you know, while the guy's in the bathroom.
Right.
The guy comes back and he's like, hey, this is my next door neighbor. And the guy's like, this guy's been standing next to us for an hour. You didn't know it was your neighbor? He's like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we went through the story about like how we really never see each other. We don't really know each other all that well. But, and by the way, that happened on Black Friday 2 years ago. I don't know that I've seen or spoken to him since.
Well, I'm glad you got out to meet your neighbor for the first time today. You know, Stowe seems to bring people together. That was a different neighbor.
Yeah,
I'm just saying today, you know, it's bringing people together. You know, I absolutely love it. No, I was out there 9 o'clock last night shoveling. My new roommate finished up the shoveling today. It was a little bit more. So we got a lot done for the most part. But yeah, we had to shovel out. It was not fun. Now, what was on your docket yesterday? Because it was football championship Sunday. That was clearly on your docket. However, you had a, you know, in the morning up until 3 o'clock to really, you know, do some stuff, maybe stuff around the house, watch something. I'll tell you what I did. I watched football and I watched Entourage. I was watching reruns of Entourage. What a fantastic show. You know, it's a comedic relief of being stuck inside all day.
So I went with the WWE Unreal on Netflix.
How about that?
It's like a little 6-episode miniseries where they kind of take you behind the scenes inside the writer's room and kind of give you the perspective of how they come up with a lot of the angles and why. So I like that kind of thing. Even though I really haven't watched in years, I really just don't know what's going on. But I do find that aspect of the business very interesting. And I thought the show was really cool. It brought you behind the scenes to a lot of cool conversations of like why they decide to do stuff, who they decide to kind of push and why, and all that stuff. So I kind of got that going. And then what else did I do? I was watching, I don't even remember. We had the game on, what did that come on at 3 o'clock?
Three. 3 to like 9:30, 10 was like your football viewing.
Yeah. Saturday, because now you went to the Sixers game Saturday, right?
I did. I did a Schwein show in the morning, then beeline to the Sixers game.
So Saturday, I started watching the Sixers game. Oh my God, this is crazy. So I'm watching the Sixers game, 3 o'clock start. I called the Blue Coats game that night. That game's at 7:30 in, they play in Wilmington.
Right.
So to get there, I usually get there about an hour and like 15 minutes or an hour and a half ahead of time. So I left my house at like 4:45. So I had a Sixers game on in my car driving up to Delaware. As I get on 295, I'm in like the last 45 seconds of that game, which was like pandemonium.
And
I'm trying
insane.
To focus on that, but I'm also got like 18 wheelers and stuff like going back and forth. And I'm like, wait, what is going on? Like there's fouls called and they're reversing the foul calls. There's a foul on Brunson. Then they reverse the foul. They charge on Edgecombe. I mean, then there was a foul on Maxey that they didn't call on Shamit. And I mean, I'm like, what is happening here? This is all as I'm driving on 295 to get over the Delaware Memorial Bridge. It was pretty hectic.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous ending, and there were some missed calls. That's a whole other conversation with the officiating. Sixers had one of their worst third quarters of the year, probably the worst one of the year. It was bad. It was just totally different from the first half. But,
so, you know, the other funny part about that is, so the Sixers, the Knicks go on a 15-0 run.
Ridiculous.
So my buddy texts me, and he hates Nurse, so he's like, 15-0 run, no timeout, right? So I was like, yeah. And then the Knicks go, the Sixers come back, they go on a 5-0 run, and the Knicks call timeout.
Yeah.
Well, right after that, the Knicks, the Sixers go on a 7-0 run. So they went on like a 12-0 run. I go, I guess the timeout after the 5-0 run didn't really mean much, did it?
You it know, really like, worked there.
Right. I was like, you just, like people just, I was listening to a podcast about this, actually this morning, about the NFL coach and how important they are. Now, the guy who hosts the podcast used to be a NBA beat reporter.
Mm.
And he was talking about how important the NFL coach is versus the NBA coach and how people go crazy about the NBA coach, but they have such a little impact, such a minimal impact. Whereas, like, he was saying, like, at a time, would you take Giannis or Brad Stevens? And he was like, Giannis, 100 times out of 100. Like, no one even questions that. Whereas in the NFL, he was like, would you take Vrabel or, like, you know, whoever, Sam Darnold, whatever, like Mike McDonald, yeah. who means more? So that was kind of the conversation there, which kind of brings us to, I guess, the Sixers, I mean, the Eagles. What's going on there, man?
Yeah, I'm all these reports coming out, and then today they're losing out on a couple. Declan Doyle out for the Sixers or the Eagles job. Mike McDaniel, Charlie Weiss out. Clayton Adams, Zach Robinson. I mean, there's just name after name. I could go down the list, but there are so many names just going off the board for the Eagles right now. And, you know, Greg Olsen said just a couple days ago, I guess, it was like, this is still like, I would want that Eagles job, right? Like if you were in the running for an offensive coordinator spot, but it just seems like they're getting declined after declined after declined after declined. I mean, this is getting ridiculous now. I mean, there's something going on here where everybody's choosing to either stay put or go somewhere else.
Well, I will say this. There is a lot of this happening everywhere. Like you see guys pulling out of the job in Cleveland. Like they're staying and they don't want the head coaching job. You saw that with the Jacksonville offensive
coordinator. That's the thing though, right? Like it's Cleveland.
That is fair. It's Cleveland. It is a head coaching job. And a lot of times people are like, you know what?
True.
There's only 32 of them. I'll take one. To hear like Declan Doyle, Charlie Weiss Jr. Now, I don't know how many people actually wanted those guys. Here's the thing. Frank Smith, you're interviewing Frank Smith and Jared Johnson. Like, what are we, just throwing darts now? And wherever this thing lands, you're like, hey, let's have a conversation. Frank Smith and Jared Johnson are now on the list of yes. candidates.
Yes. Yeah. Jim Bob Cooter's name still out there. Matt Nagy.
Around, right?
Yep. Matt Nagy's still out there. Kafka, another name out there, too, still, that hasn't actually declined yet. But, like, we're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The pool's not going to be as strong after the next couple of weeks. And, you know, guys are going to take head coaching jobs. I wonder what the Brian Daboll situation is at. Because, I mean, technically, is he really out of it yet? Theoretically, I mean, the Tennessee Titans, are they going to continue to wait? What is Buffalo going to do? Are they going to hire Daboll? So, like, there's a lot of still moving parts here. But the names keep going off the board. And you could cross them off the list. And that makes me wonder, if you're the Eagles, what are you saying in these interviews? Like, are you not giving them as much control? Is there something Sirianni's doing that they aren't on board with? Like, I'm just very curious. Are they looking at the outlook of the job where guys get fired so quickly? I mean, there's so many factors here where if you're a candidate.
You have two sides of the coin here, right? You have two sides of the coin. You have the side of the coin of you have Kellen Moore and Shane Steichen. 1 year. Both got head coaching jobs. Well, Steichen was here for a couple of years.
Right,
two years. But he was the play caller for one full year.
Yes.
And he got a job right off of that. Then you have the Brian Johnson and Kevin Petullo, where they had 1 year and got fired. So you're looking at it from, I can either get the job and it's a propeller to the head coaching job, or I can get the job and I can be out of my ass in 1 year. Now, I want the guy who says, I can be the next head coach because of this job. I don't want the guy who's trepidatious because he's afraid he might get fired. That tells me he's a failure. Anyway, his mindset is, I'm going to fail. You look at this team and you say, I'm better than Kellen Moore. I'm better than Shane Steichen. Give me that team and I'll show you what I can do with this talent. That's the guy that I'm looking for. So if you're somebody who's pulled yourself out, I didn't want you anyway. And it's not because you're not a Philly guy or blah, blah, blah. It's because you don't have enough confidence to say, look, if I get fired because I did a bad job here, I have enough contacts, I'll get another job. But I think I'm the guy who can come in here and make sure that this offense doesn't score 19 points in a playoff game at home.
Yeah, and I think another problem here is, right, is like I think so many people on the outside looking in as fans, you're like, well, we just want a guy who's going to be Vic Fangio, is not looking for a head coaching job. He's going to be here. He's going to call plays. He's not going to be looking ahead, right? Like that's what people on the outside are like, well, we just need to get somebody who's like a Vic Fangio. That guy's really not out there for the most part. I mean, you're going to want a guy who's either going to want a head coaching job, right? And unfortunately, that's the cost of being a good team. You're going to lose those guys that you have because you've had a lot of success, right? Steichen being one, Kellen Moore being another one. So you're not going to go out and just find a Vic Fangio type of guy on the offensive side out on the street. It's just not likely. So you're going to have to either bite the bullet and, you know, hopefully get someone in here that isn't going to look ahead after 1 year to maybe go get a head coaching job. But I'm with you in a sense where, yeah, you kind of want that guy to look ahead. You want him to succeed, right? So, I mean, this is just how it's going to be, especially with how the good Eagles have been.
You want to succeed. You don't want to bring a guy in here to fail, but you want a guy who believes I'm going to come here because I value the talent you're giving. A lot of times when you have an opening, it's because you don't have a lot of talent. You need someone to kind of get the most out of your talent. Here's a situation where you do have a lot of talent, and the guy coming in is giving it an embarrassment of riches for the most part. Now, one question would be, okay, I'm getting this job. Do I get A.J. Brown? I'm getting this job. Do I get Lane Johnson? I'm getting this job. Do I get to call my own plays? Or do I have to call Sirianni's little, you know, pop gun offense? Those are legitimate questions that if you are trepidatious about those factors. The other two things, well, I might get fired after 1 year, but I get to call my own plays? I'll take it a shot on. I'm betting on me. You let me come in here and call my own plays, I will be the next head coach someplace else. Thank you very much. I'll take the job. But if I have to call Sirianni's plays, that factors in. I'm trading A.J. Brown. You know what, though? If they trade A.J. Brown, I don't even get concerned about that because I say, you know what, Howie Roseman, I trust that that guy is going to make sure that they restock. I got Devontae Smith. I got a good running back. I'll be fine.
Yeah, I would think Howie Roseman will probably figure out a way to
look at, by the way, sorry, look at
Seattle.
Did
you bro me? Did you bro me?
I did. I turned around. I'm looking and I see highlights of Seattle, and I'm thinking Seattle's a great example. They've got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and who else? I mean, Rashid Shaheed, they traded for. They didn't do – I mean, he didn't do much at all season long. Can you name another receiver there that you're like, oh, man, I got to have that guy?
Right.
They don't have, you know, like this great running back. I mean, what's his name got hurt? Didn't even
Charbonnet.
Play yesterday. Charbonnet didn't even play yesterday.
Kenny Walker is still
Walker,
there.
You know, not a guy that you're like, oh, man, I could do a lot of great things with him. But they got it done because – they had a good plan. They had a good system. I thought the Kubiak had a great game yesterday.
Yeah. Listen, two defensive head coaches also in the Super Bowl. How about that? How about that?
You know what's funny? I said that, you know, again, say this a lot about McVay. He's a great play caller. The offense is fun. He mismanaged the end of that game.
Totally.
He mismanaged a lot of that game yesterday.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you don't take the field goal earlier. And it ends up costing you where you could have had a field goal on that last drive. Instead, you have to go for it. You don't end up getting it, and you're down by four. You can't get the field goal. If you kicked the field goal earlier when you had the chance, now you kick that field goal, you have the lead.
Sean Payton also.
A lot of that in these playoffs, though.
Yeah. Man. Now, what was your take? And, you know, I know we're jumping off topic a little bit, but what was your take on the games yesterday? Because, I mean, I thought the second game, very entertaining. Very entertaining. The AFC game. Before that, Stidham. I mean, we had people trying to tell me Jared Stidham was going to lead this team to victory. I mean, come on. And then Sean Payton did kick the field goal. You knew the snow was going to be coming later in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, bad decision there.
That's the thing. 2 points you just made. One, you know the snow's coming. You got to get points. Two, Jared Stidham's my quarterback. If he gets me in position to get points, I got to take them. And I have a great defense, and I'm at home. I got to take those points.
Yes, absolutely.
These offensive-minded guys who call the plays so many times, they put too much trust in themselves that they have the perfect play or they're going to do the right thing.
That and then the analytics aspect. Like, just throw it out the window sometimes. Like, you got to have common sense and be aware of unmitigating factors like snow coming later in the game. You got to think about that. And that didn't happen. Like, you're seeing some of these mistakes because of the stupid analytics sometimes. It just goes overboard. And then you have also the mismanagement of the game, right? Calling the plays. I'm with you on that. I think that's very true. And we saw two defensive coaches are in the Super Bowl this year. How'd that happen?
Well, you have two defensive coaches who both have good offensive coordinators.
Yep.
Josh McDaniels is a guy who, listen, Josh McDaniels is one of those guys that, like, at a time, he was the McVay. He was the smart, like, play caller, play designer. He got a head coaching job. It didn't work out. He's a guy that's a prime example that is just better suited to be a coordinator. And now you're seeing Clint Kubiak, very good coordinator right now. What kind of head coach will he be? Don't know. However, these defensive guys just let those guys call their plays, and you're seeing the results because McVay got tied up in calling plays, not calling timeouts. burning timeouts, wasting timeouts, didn't call a timeout, or he did call a timeout on the challenge play. He could have challenged the Cooper Kupp thing. That would have saved his timeout. Yep. Instead, he calls the timeout and doesn't challenge the play. Oh, my God. And then Peyton not taking points, yada, yada, yada. Down the road we go. You got Vrabel and McDaniel.
Yep, there it is. That is your Super Bowl. And the Eagles still can't find an offensive coordinator. We're at the Super Bowl. They still don't have one. They still don't have one.
No, and guess what? So we're going to be at Radio Row at the Super Bowl next week, Nugs.
Already.
Next week we're going to be out there. We're already starting to book some guests. First guest that we've already got might be the first guest of the whole week. I don't know about that, but at noon, so noon Pacific time.
Okay.
At 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, excuse me. 3 o'clock here on the Sports Bash, we'll be talking to Donovan McNabb. Who does he think should be the Eagles' offensive coordinator? What kind of coordinator does he think is right for Jalen Hurts? We're going to get to talk to McNabb about what he sees in Hurts. Is there more that they can get from Hurts? Donovan McNabb, 3 o'clock next Wednesday on the Sports Bash. We're also going to be talking to one of my favorites, one of the best tight ends you ever saw, Vernon Davis, is going to be on the show
next week. San Fran.
We're going to be out there. Yes, former 49er, but Vernon Davis, if you remember him, you're a little young, coming out of Maryland, he was like a freakazoid in the combine, shot himself all the way up, played for Washington for years,
yep.
But definitely as a tight end, want to get his perspective on, you know, what it's like being in this Eagle offense. Does he think there's more for the tight end in this offense? Because so many times people said they could have got the tight end more involved. And then we're going to be talking with, man, one of my favorite linebackers of that era, Keith Bullock, is going to be on the show. This is all on Wednesday, and we're just starting to kind of build the guest lineup for Radio Row. But Donovan McNabb next week at 3 o'clock, Keith Bullock at 5 o'clock, and Vernon Davis at 5:40. We got some other things that we're lining up. We'll start announcing more things as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there Monday. I'll be attending media night. It'll be a lot of fun. We get some good content out in the socials at 97.3 ESPN, at Nernshaw Radio. I'm going to be going around. I'm going to be maneuvering around. You know how I roll, just around that media night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be a lot of time. You guys, a couple of you guys are going to be out Monday, then the rest of us will be out there Tuesday, and we're going to be on the radio and on YouTube Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, I did a little research last night.
Oh, Sixers, so that was tickets on your docket.
Sixers tickets dropping there. I saw, now these are way up in the cheap seats, Pete's in the Nicky nosebleed spot. Section 213, tickets were like $57.
Oh, see, that's more like it. It was like $150 like when we first looked a few months back. Woo, that's more like it. We'll be up in the bleeds. I can't wait, Mike. Go to have a good time.
Yeah, by the way, Sixers take on the Warriors that night, and the whole crew, we're going to be at that game. And the trade deadline, I think, is
right around that time.
The 5th, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be out there
Thursday.
Right before.
Yeah, the trade deadline will be on Thursday. We'll be at the Sixers' last game before the trade deadline on Tuesday night. All right, we're looking forward to that. Of course, kind of a snowy day, having a little fun today here on the Nuggets. We have Sixers basketball coming up at 3 o'clock right here on 97.3 ESPN. All right, Nuggets, appreciate it, man.
Talk to you. Peace.
All right, there you go. The Nuggets here on the Sports Bash Live. Yeah, we got Sixers basketball coming up against the Hornets. As you know, the game got rescheduled. It was supposed to be a 7 o'clock game, but they moved it to 3 o'clock. So here's our schedule. Sixers right now at 3 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock tonight, it is the Flyers and the Islanders. You can hear that game now on 97.3 ESPN. That game was supposed to be on Rock 104.1, but because the Sixers game got moved up, we'll put the Flyers here at 7 o'clock. For those of you who are listening to this in the best of hour, the Sixers game's already over. I don't know if they won or lost, but we had a little bit of fun earlier in the show, and now you'll be going to the Flyers game coming up at 7 right here on 97.3 ESPN. Hopefully we're back to normal. We'll be at Ocean Casino on Tuesday back at the Fanatics Sportsbook. Have a great night, everybody. Sixers, Hornets, coming up.